Last week we spoke about you are a carbon copy of God. Y'all remember that, right? That was lesson one. Today we're going to go on lesson two of you are a carbon copy of God. Prove it. I will. Brother preacher, can you put up there for me Genesis first reference? You are a carbon copy of God. If you want to know how God looks like, look in the mirror. Prove it. I will. Let's read it. Then God said, okay, third grade, or maybe we should do it together. All right? I said that you are a carbon copy of God. This is why from the beginning, from the get-go, I'm hammering on this thing that you're made to be happy. You're designed to be happy. You're crafted, you're created, whatever word you want to choose, to be happy. Because you are a carbon copy of God. Then God said, let's read it. Let us make human beings in our image to be like ourselves. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. You have been created, crafted, made, however you want to put it, to be in the image of God. And then he goes on to say, to be like ourselves. What does that mean? You are a carbon copy of God. And some of the things that comes in being a carbon copy of God, you have the right to reign. Not over other people, but over everything else. So what does it come along with? The weatherman is saying that the storm is coming on your direction, the direction of your house. You can talk to the wind to go around. Well, that's no love in that. It's going to destroy the neighbor's house. It's going to destroy anyway. You're just sparing your house. Can I spare the neighbor's house? I don't know. You can try. I will spare my house first. Maybe the neighbor is having satanic rituals in his house. So his house has to be demolished. Maybe you try to talk to the neighbor and he will not listen. And that's his house. Go. Maybe he will come to you. See, well, tell me about this Jesus stuff. I mean, how come your house is the only one that didn't get destroyed? Because of us. I am a carbon copy of God. I've been given the right to reign. And I told the storm to go around. Can we do that? Yes. They will reign over all this stuff around us. So I gave you several points that proves us that we are a carbon copy of God. Today I want to steer you on the second step. That may sound a little crazy, but I want you to stay with me. Don't get mad before I finish, all right? If you follow the chain of thought, I promise you I'm not going to be long today. Just to show you how truthful I am, I have 2 pages of service only. I should have heard an amen here. You and I were created as carbon copies of God. And as such, you and I have given the right, the responsibility, the task to reign over the earth and its elements. One of the greatest difficulties we find today in ruling over the earth is when Jesus was in the boat taking a nap after healing service. Somebody once asked me, why did Jesus have to take a nap? Because he had a human body. And he just came out of a healing service. What does it got to do with nap? Every time you pray for people, strength goes out of you. The King James says, virtue goes out of you. And by the time you finish praying for the sick, we are literally wiped out. So after healing every single people sick that was brought to that home fellowship group, he jumped on the boat and they were crossing over. And he was tired. And he went to take a nap. And that's when the idiots called Legion, which is 1,000 demons, said, you know what? He's coming on the boat. Let's kill him. How stupid demons can be. And the sad part is that people today believe on their stupidity. They thought, let's kill Jesus. Yeah. Let's kill him. Then they're going to be able to run free and rampant. The poor disciples, they were Baptists. They were non-Pentecostal. They jump on the boat. Although they knew that they were created in the image of God, they couldn't rule over the elements of nature. And so, all of the sudden, out of the blue, if you read the Greek New Testament in detail, it will show you that the storm was not in the whole lake. It was right around the boat. Isn't that something? And instead of starting taking authority and ruling over all that nonsense, they're working hard and hard and hard to keep the boat afloat. And then at one time, Peter screamed, Lord, wake up! Have pity on us. We are about to sink. Jesus got up. What? We are about to sink. Wind, be quiet. Storm, shut up. And immediately, everything went calm. Then Jesus said, what is the matter with you? What is your faith? Why did Jesus ask for faith? You could have done that. But if you didn't want to do it, remember, I am here in the boat. And you want to tell me that creation is going to kill the creator? Get a life. Then the disciples go, who is this man? Even the winds obey him. The problem that many of us are finding today to rule over the elements of nature is that our image of Christ is messed up. Our Christ-like appearance is distorted. And why is it distorted? Because like the disciple in the old days, seems like the more we try to be like Jesus, the worse it gets. And why is that, preacher? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let me start today by saying, number one, it's the Holy Spirit's job to produce Christ-like character in all of us. Say amen. What? It is the Holy Spirit's job. It is the Holy Spirit's work to produce in you and I Christ-like character. Listen to the scripture. Let's read it. So, all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect and isn't that great? Maybe you don't understand what he's saying here. So all of us who have had that veil removed, what veil? The self-doing veil. Self-saving veil, the good works veil, that self-holiness that we're going to achieve by ourselves. Once that veil is removed, we can see the true thing. And not only see, we can reflect the glory of the Lord. You cannot get glory in yourself Or you cannot get glory in your body by yourself. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to bring that glory in you. How do you know? Once he says that we will reflect the glory of the Lord. And then he says, and the Lord, Jesus Christ, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. In other words, he's telling us that it is the Lord who makes us more and more like Jesus. It is the Lord who helps us in our Christ-like appearance. Well, how is this process of being changed to be more like Jesus called in the scriptures? Sanctification. Did you hear what I said? The process of being changed to be more and more like Jesus is called sanctification. And I believe this is one of the greatest goals and purpose of our lives on planet Earth. Why do you think that? Why do I think that about sanctification? Because we cannot reproduce the character of Christ on our own strength. Can I hear an amen here? You know, we have the willpower, New Year's resolutions, and the best of intention. But you know what? They're not enough. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to make the changes God wants to make in our lives. Amen. Let's go to Philippians 2:13. Would you care to read it with me? For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to please him. Are we still together? You cannot become holy by yourself. Christ-like image comes through the work of the Holy Spirit working in us. There are some misunderstandings about this verse. At the mention of the sentence, the power of the Holy Spirit, many people think of miraculous demonstrations, intense emotions, I would call lightning, thundering, every time you talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. People immediately start thinking, kaboom! Something monstrous big is happening. Well, that's a misconception. Folks, most time, the Holy Spirit power is released in your life in quiet time. Most time, that power of the Holy Spirit is manifested in unassuming ways. And you know what? In most cases, we are not even aware of it. Or we can't even feel it. But how do you know that the Spirit is working? He will nudge you and I with a gentle whisper. Hey, stay with me. I'm working on you. You get that? Most of the time when the power of the Holy Spirit is working in us to make us like Christ, it's not through thundering, lightning, bolting, it's in the quiet time. And he will often nudge you and I with a gentle whisper. Prove it. Glad you ask. Let's go to 1 Kings 19, 12. So you say that the Holy Spirit will nudge? Yes, He will. Watch this. You see, even on the days of old, when people thought about the move of God, what the first thing that came in his mind? Earthquake. God gave them an earthquake, but guess what? The Lord was not there. Then fire. But guess what? The Lord wasn't in the fire either. Does that mean that God will not use a fire? Yes, He can. But most of the time, He will nudge you with a gentle whisper. After the earthquake, after the fire, and all the fanfare, the Bible says, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. I want you to turn around and tell somebody, get ready for the gentle whisper of God. The Holy Spirit will work in us in ways that sometimes we can't understand. And again, it's not on that big fanfare. He will nudge in such a gentle way. Now I'm going to say something that's going to mess up some people's day. But I want you to be with me. All right? Can you do that? Before you get mad at me, just listen to what I say. Christ-likeness is not produced by imitation, but by inhabitation. Somebody should have said amen. I'll say it again. Christ-likeness is not produced in you and I by imitation, but by inhabitation. What do you mean, inhabitation? We allow Christ to live through us. Prove it. I will. Brother, give me Colossians, please. 1:27. Watch this. Well, let's read it together. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are, and this is the secret. I should have heard an amen very loud. Come on, Gentiles, it's for you. You are to become like Christ. You are a copy, a carbon copy of God. And the way that that happens is not by being pious. The way that that happens is allowing Christ to dwell in you. Because sanctification is not achieved by imitation, but by inhabitation. My Lord, I am the only one excited about this. Aren't you glad that Christ lives in you? Somebody may ask, so how does this inhabitation thing happen? Come on, preacher. In real life, how does that happen? Okay. It happens through the choices we make. We choose to do the right thing in situations and then trust God's Spirit to give us the power, the faith, the love, and the wisdom to do it. You're not listening. The inhabitation of Christ in us, which produces sanctification, happens in real life when you and I choose to do the right thing in the eyes of God, in every situation, and then move over and trust God's Spirit to give you and I the love, the power, the faith, and wisdom to do it. Why should I do that? Because the Spirit of God, according to that scripture, lives, resides inside of you. And because of that, the power and the love and the faith and the wisdom is always available for all of us when we ask. Amen?
Amen.
Now that we get over this point, I want to call your attention for a few things here. The fact that God's Spirit is the one who produces Christ-likeness in you and Christ-like character in you does not give you and I a free pass to sitting down idle in our butts. And this is my second point this morning. We must go along with the Holy Spirit's work. Say amen.
Amen.
Throughout the Bible, we see many times an important truth illustrated over and over and over. What is the truth, preacher? The Holy Spirit releases His power the moment you take a step of faith. I should have heard an amen here.
Amen.
To become even a better carbon copy of God, the Spirit will produce Christ-like image in you. But we gotta go along with the program of the Spirit. We've got to do our part in the sense of following the steps, going along with the program. And every time you can read on the Bible, every single time that the Spirit of God released His power was at that moment when people took a step of faith. And you are sitting down under a miracle. I mean, we had to take a first step. We're sitting down in my office across the street. The Lord said, go across the street. Talk to Dennis. Nice man. Nice man, right?
Nicely.
Talk to Dennis nicely. I need this piece of land. And I'm thinking, who's Dennis Nicely? The man who owns the place. Yes, sir. Walk across here. And he's mowing his lawn, his little tractor. Good evening, Mr. Nicely. Dennis Nicely. Have we met before? I said, nope. How do you know my name? The one in whose presence I stand. Just told him your name. Is that right? Yes. And he has a message for you. And you're the preacher, right? The new preacher. I said, yes. What is the message, preacher? He needs this place. Let me think, what's so funny? You're going to give us for free? We'll take it. And has he sent $500,000? That's not God's number. He doesn't talk the kind of number. Can't help you, preacher. Well, he was asking for $1.5 million, so he dropped to $500,000. It's quite a nice drop. But it ain't God's number yet. And we went back and forth 3 times. So on the 3rd time, when we came back, said, Mr. Nice, yes, preacher, what is he saying now? He needs this place to build a house to himself. Well, did he send $400,000? No. $375,000? No. What did he say? I said, $320,000. What? I didn't tell the truth, a whole truth. Because the Lord said $340,000. And then he caught me. You see, lies has short legs. He turned around and said, did he say $320,000? No. He said $340,000, but not one penny more. You kidding me, preacher? Mama's going to kill me. I said, Mr. Nicely, you are working without insurance. Doing the job that you do, you better get your act together before you end up in Johns Hopkins. And they put a lien on this thing goes up for auction. I'll buy cheaper than that. My goodness, what kind of preacher are you? I'm just telling you things that can happen. Man, preacher, you messed me up, man. I said, I didn't. My boss told me to tell you this. All right, it's okay with me, but I have to run it by mama. I told him, come in 2 days and you have a $2,000 check, good faith deposit. Sister Nancy Worsham, sitting on the back, was in the office with us when this man walked in. And we handed them a $2,000. The rest is history. You are sitting under it. When the Spirit of God moves in a mighty and powerful way, it's always when the people of God takes the first step of faith. Amen. Now, who in the world would think that a little congregation of 100 people would be able to build something that's $1.5 million so far without borrowing money from the bank? Yeah, we should have heard hallelujah indeed. Every time that the Spirit of God is ready to manifest His power, we got to take a step of faith. Amen. You know, I praise God for these folks here. God says He's going to give 13 houses, so people start bringing keys. And I said, you know what, I better get my act together. Here's my keys. I want one too, why not? Everybody's getting a house, I want one too. Amen. And I'm going to go a step further. I don't want a mortgage. Amen. How? I don't know. I cannot comprehend how God does things. But you know, I'm good to believe. Amen. The Bible says in Numbers 23, He's not a man that He should lie. Nor a son of man to go back in His word. Isn't that right? Amen. So I'm good for the money, babe. By the end of this year, I will have my house. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And I'm trusting for one without a mortgage. For some reason, no bank will lend me money to buy a house. So I said, God's going to give me one for free. That's all. Becoming more like Christ, becoming a carbon copy of God, requires you and I to go along with the works of the Holy Spirit. And it is very, very interesting that every time that the power of God was released, it happened at the moment when the people took the first step of faith.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Are we together here? Yes. You may be saying, prove it. Brother preacher, put Joshua up there for them. Let me prove it to you. Miracles will always happen when you take the first step of faith.
Amen.
Let's read it. And it shall come to pass, Joshua speaking, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. And the waters that come down from the upstream. Now, stay with me here. You have upstream water coming down. You with me, right? Then right opposite Jericho, there's a strait. It's not too big. Should be like 3 miles long. Somewhere 3 and 4 miles. Joshua tells the people and the priests, on the moment that the priest touched that water, coming downstream. On the moment they touch that water, the water is going to start piling up as a heap. What are the chances for that to happen in a natural world? None. It's not only too many water, but it's coming down. Are you with me? Listen to the next verse, 14. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, they are no longer sitting on their butts, with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. They are working together with leadership. Usually the loners are the one who will sink while trying to swim across the Jordan. Stick with the priest and walk along on dry land. Verse 15. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, And the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. Woohoo! 16. That the waters which came down from the upstream, say amen.
Amen.
And rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, which is the South Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. You know, when I read the next verse, I got chilling on me. Watch this. The priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Where? Then until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. He touched the edge of the river. The water started piling up, and they are walking towards the middle of the river, and the water is piling up, and they stood right in the middle of the river. And then every single Israeli crossed over. Mind you, downstream water. Mind you, overflowing riverbanks. But God can do it. The Spirit of God will move in a powerful way when we take the first step of faith towards doing what God tells us to do. I want you to remember this. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this thing down. Total obedience, although not fully understood, unlocks God's power. Say it again. Total obedience, although not fully understood, unlocks God's power. So, preacher, is there anything else for us today? Yes, there is. But the Holy Spirit just told me to stop. Amen. What is the conclusion, preacher? You have been created by God to rule, to reign. And to exhale the perfume of Christ. Because you are a carbon copy of God. You know, folks, at the end of the day, it is boring to be normal Christian. Some of you are in need of a breakthrough this morning. Being created or crafted into the image of God, I am challenging you this morning to take your first step into the riverbanks. Although the water may be coming down strong from upstream, the God that you serve has the power to cut off the water.
Amen.
And pile it up in a heap so that you can cross over to your blessing.
Amen.
And as your spiritual leaders, we want to stand in the middle of the Jordan so that you can cross over and reach out your goal. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't get saddened. Turn off your TV. Get off of your butt and start moving. Don't let the harsh downstream waters keep you on the other side of your blessing, on the other side of the Jordan. God has much, much, much more good and big stuff for you on the other side of the tough waters. No matter how flooding the banks of your river may be, step into the water. And watch the Holy Ghost transform you to be into the likeness of Christ. And watch the water part in two so you can cross straight through dry land. If you have a difficulty believing in that, I will remind you this. You can step into the water. Jeremiah says, when you walk through the waters, they shall not succumb you. God is with you. You are created a carbon copy of God. Go out and let that carbon cup shine into this dark world. Amen? Father, help us to understand your word. We want to be. We want to demonstrate, rather, that we are a carbon copy of God. Sometimes, you know, Lord, we are spoiled brats. And we are lazy too. But Lord, wake us up. Wake us up. Give us that understanding that it's the job of the Holy Spirit to transform us to be Christ-like. And yet, we should not be sitting down waiting for things to happen on its own. But we should go along with what the Holy Spirit is doing right now at every one of us lives. Help us, Lord, to step into the waters. Even though things may look difficult, even though the waters may be coming down on us from upstream, we know, Lord, that you are the God of the earth, the sun, the fire, the waters. You're the God of all. And we want to shine that carbon copy of you to this dark world. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.